Who's the best show here?
Head show! Head show! Head show!
The Linux Night Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Another odd, exciting episode of the Linux League Tech Show, episode 195. How's everybody live tonight?
Not bad. Live from the cigar lounge out here.
Alan, you going wireless?
Yeah, everything's wireless tonight. We're going in through Gizmo this evening.
Cool. Gizmo sounds really good, man. I'm really happy with the sound quality whenever I use Gizmo myself.
Yeah, I never really realized that we could get into the Asterisk server from that. I mean, I know we've done it several times in the past, but I just never really paid attention to it. But it sounds really good.
Anytime we have guests come on and they want to use a VoIP client, I always recommend using Gizmo, just for the simple fact that the quality is real good and it's really simple to set up with an Asterisk server. Well,
it does work nice.
We got a really good guest tonight. Fedora 7 just came out, and we've got Max Spevak from the Fedora Project. Max, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, good to talk to you again. I was checking back earlier today, and I realized it was last week, 1 year ago, that I came on your show. So kind of make it an annual thing, I guess.
Well, it's good to have you back, Max.
That's damn good timing right there.
Just to let anybody know who's not familiar with it, Max, just tell us what you do at the Fedora Project.
Sure. I have been working at Red Hat since August of 2004. And since February of 2006, my job at Red Hat has been Fedora project leader. So Red Hat pays me to spend 100% of my time on Fedora, and the easiest way to kind of describe my job is sort of a general manager kind of position where I sort of oversee all the different moving parts of Fedora, whether it's technical stuff or legal stuff or marketing stuff or budget kind of stuff, and I try to make sure everything is all kind of working well, and kind of a big major part of that obviously is Fedora, both from the perspective of sort of the upstream that Red Hat uses to build out a lot of its products, and Fedora from the perspective of a open source community distribution that we're trying to build completely in the public and all that. So that's a brief summary kind of what I do.
Now, you guys just had a big release, number 7. Lucky 7.
That's right. Last week, Fedora 7, we dropped the core.
Congratulations.
Be happy to explain what that means later on. I'm sure you've got some listeners who probably want to hear it. Thank you. Yes, it's been very exciting. When we released Fedora Core 6 back in, back in October, we released Fedora Core 6. It was so popular that all of the FedoraProject.org websites crashed, all of RedHat.com crashed, and for a week I was getting phone calls from people saying, how did you people manage to knock our whole company offline? And so this time we actually hired, we actually hired someone who helped make sure that the release went better this time, and a lot of credit to our Fedora infrastructure team for keeping things up 100% during the release. We're really proud of that.
Now, what are some of the really good features that we have to look forward to in Fedora Core 7?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff in Fedora 7. I would say that it is probably the most ambitious of all the Fedora releases we've done. In my opinion, the coolest part of Fedora 7 is sort of from the developer perspective much more than maybe from the end user perspective, because from the perspective of a developer who works in the open source world, right, we have completely liberated, I think is a good word, every step in the Fedora process, so that now everything from, you know, when you check your code into CVS through a brand new build system for Fedora that is completely separated from anything internal to Red Hat, the entire Fedora build system completely external. Anyone who is a Fedora contributor can throw their packages into it and have them be built. The compose tool that takes the output of that build system, right, and cobbles it together into an actual ISO or install tree, also has been completely rewritten, completely open sourced. So everything all the way leading up to your end result of an ISO is completely public, completely out there. And what that also has translated to is a program that was written, I think you guys would enjoy taking a look at. It's called Revisor. It's a graphical tool that a couple of our community people wrote that works on top of all the APIs in the Fedora build system and the Fedora compose tools. And it's a GUI tool. It's basically a wizard, and you run it and you say, you know, here's all the repositories that I want, whether they're Fedora repositories or third-party repositories. It goes out to those repos, it sees what's available, you checkbox all the stuff you want, and then eventually you say, build me a live CD, or build me an installable ISO, or build me a USB stick, and it just makes the whole thing and gives it to you at the end. So, you know, totally customized versions of Fedora, you know, basically with just some mouse clicks. That's one of the really cool things we've got.
So basically that's a way to create your own distro, basically, spun out of Fedora.
Yeah. It's totally, when I talk to community-type people, we say, like, Fedora is now completely remixable, right? And when I talk to enterprise people, I say, you can build your own Fedora appliance now. So, it means the same thing, just different groups of target audience, I suppose.
That's really cool. That's a really cool feature.
Yeah, we think it's important. It's been something we've been working toward for a really long time. Like I said earlier, I went back today and I listened to the interview that we did last year, and we were talking about this same topic last year. And at that time, I said, our big goal for Fedora is to make it trivial to build custom versions of the OS. And I said, we probably won't have it done in time for Fedora Core 6, but we're hoping to have it done for Fedora 7. And there you go. We actually managed to hit a goal. So it's something we're all really proud of. We've been working toward it for a long time.
One of the things that really jumped out to me on the new feature list is the amount of things you guys are doing for virtualization. It seems Red Hat has really taken a lead in that area.
Yeah, well, virtualization, obviously, right, I can talk about this from two perspectives. One, my sort of Fedora community world, and the other, my I work for Red Hat kind of world. From the Red Hat perspective, right, virtualization has been the big thing for the last couple of years. It was in, the Zen, all the work Red Hat was doing in Zen was in Fedora Core 5 and Fedora Core 6, and ended, sort of with the culmination of Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5 earlier this year, which was built off of the Fedora 6 upstream. So obviously a lot of work's been put in there. But at the same time, like, one of the cool things about Fedora in particular is that we try to be kind of technology agnostic, right? We believe very much in making sure users have a lot of choices available to them. And so not only do we stick Zen in there for Fedora 7, but we also have, a lot of new stuff in the KVM world. We got QEMU in there as well. So, there's a couple of different virtualization, options that we put in Fedora so that people can use whatever they prefer, whatever works best for them. So it's good stuff, right? Virtualization has been one of those sort of enterprise buzzwords for the last couple of years, and so Red Hat, due to the fact that We make most of our money from supporting enterprise customers, spend a lot of time on that, and Fedora is trying to sort of help in that regard.
Now, you guys, I noticed that KDE seems to be a little bit more prominent now with Fedora.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the reason behind that?
KDE guy, isn't it? Right. So that was... So let me tell a slightly bigger story that will end with the answer to your KDE question. One of the things, right, that's been done in Fedora 7 is the merging of what was the Fedora Core repository and the Fedora Extras repository into one just Fedora repository. And so the reason why that was something that we wanted to do was for a couple reasons. One is that the Fedora Extras project was started as a pure community play within Fedora as a way of demonstrating that under complete community leadership, we could build a group of people that could set up a packaging committee and have packaging guidelines and standards for what sort of software we include into Fedora, and that not only could those people sort of be in charge of the theory around packaging, but that they could also handle the practice of packaging. And so Fedora Extras as an actual functional repository over the last couple of years came into being, and eventually ended up with something like 5,000 packages in it, most of which were maintained by community members, some of which were maintained by Red Hat folks. But everyone who maintained packages for Fedora Extras was simply a Fedora contributor. It didn't matter where they were coming from, and the build system for all of that was external as well. And so one of the things that led us to saying, well, we need to merge Core and Extras together was simply that, well, on one hand, Fedora Extras was turning out better results than Fedora Core. Fedora Core was sort of a legacy of the way Fedora was initially set up, 3 years ago or whatever, when Red Hat Linux was ended and Fedora and Red Hat Enterprise Linux kind of came out of its ashes. And so things like KDE kind of starved a little bit within the walls of Red Hat. Right? Red Hat's kind of been a GNOME shop for a while, and so we had contributors and Fedora people out there who were KDE zealots who basically kept saying to us, "Look, you guys, you're messing it up, right? The KDE that you're shipping in Fedora Core isn't good enough." It's not getting the attention it deserves. Right? We are trying to fix that with some of the packages of KDE and Fedora Extras, but we need to be able to have control over the whole thing if we ever want KDE to be good. So KDE was sort of one of the primary use cases when we were thinking about merging Core and Extras together was it could end with us fixing KDE. And what we've done, now that everything is in one repository and we can give ownership of packages to the most qualified maintainer, regardless of where they work. We've got a KDE team within Fedora, and we said to those guys, look, we want you to own the KDE release for Fedora 7, and, we're going to put out live CDs for Fedora 7, so why don't you guys own the KDE live CD, and you can make the package manifest whatever you want. You can include whichever packages you want. You can make sure that the packages are in whatever sort of state you want. And that group of people, mostly community-run and community-led, took control of it. And so we've got the GNOME and KDE Fedora 7 live CDs side by side with each other. So, the KDE example is sort of the initial example of how we wanted to be able to make the tools for building your own custom versions of Fedora available and then letting the community run with them. The KDE example of that is one where the community was doing it as all the tools were in development so that it could be ready at the same time as the rest of Fedora 7. It's kind of roundabout, but I hope I answered your question.
So basically you're letting the community really take a greater role in what's available and what you guys do with the desktop.
Yeah, and And it's no surprise that that's what makes things better, right? I mean, the history of Fedora certainly has demonstrated to us that any time we can take a piece of the Fedora project and widen the amount of opportunity that people have to contribute to it, it always ends up better. So, you know, and I would argue that that is the lesson that open source has shown to all of us. And so, you know, everything from a very high level kind of leadership perspective, everything I try to do with Fedora is an attempt to give more control to anyone with leadership qualities and ability within the community, regardless of where they happen to get a paycheck.
Now, one of the things about Fedora 6 that I didn't like was the package manager. I thought it was a little on the slow side. Has there been any rework of the package manager at all?
Yeah, a lot of work actually was done on Yum in the Fedora 7 timeframe. One of the things that we have been doing is we call it a FUDCon, the Fedora User and Developer Conference, and also we like to say it's a FUDCon because we try to counteract FUD about open source at the same time. We've done it the last couple of years up in Boston, sort of in the February timeframe. We're going to do another one in Raleigh probably sometime mid-July. And the way we've done these the last few years is sort of a half bar camp, half hackfest. And one of the big things that we did at the hackfest that we held for Fedora back in February was we basically got some of the main contributors and developers who work on Yum all together, and we stuck them in a room for 2 days and locked the door and said, see what you can do. And I know that a lot of work was done. Names that may be familiar to you, like Jeremy Katz or Seth Vidal, who are big Fedora contributors and big guys who work closely to Yum and stuff. I know they got a lot of work done, and SQLite was significantly improved. An interesting story about what made them get Yum a lot faster was when they were working on Yum for the One Laptop per Child project, which has, you know, as you guys probably know, pretty minimal hardware capabilities. And so running Yum on a machine like that really sort of showed them a lot of the performance bottlenecks that weren't even showing up on, you know, kind of modern hardware. But when they made the tweaks to fix those, the impact that it had on, you know, full modern hardware still came through. So it was interesting how they maybe never would have found these things otherwise, but the One Laptop per Child project sort of worked as a sort of performance test bed.
Now, for people who don't know, the One Laptop per Child is based on a version of Fedora, correct?
That's right. It was based on Core 6, and right now they're working on sort of rebasing it on Fedora 7, in fact.
On the desk, Caroline.
I'm sorry, you guys there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay.
As far as the installer, has anything changed in the install process? I mean, Anaconda was pretty sweet to begin with for the last couple of releases. Yeah. Has it been modified much, or is it still pretty much just a newer version?
Not a heck of a lot has changed in Anaconda. The biggest change in the install process is really that the live CDs are installable. This is not rocket science for open source world. There's tons of distros that have installable live CDs. I'm just happy that Fedora now can be counted among that list. But we do have it now. If you stick in the live CD and you like what you see, you can double-click the install on the desktop, and it sort of just launches a really minimal kind of Anaconda that asks you for just a few simple options, and then it goes ahead and just installs it onto your machine. So not a whole heck of a lot has changed in Anaconda, to be quite frank, because there's not really a whole lot of innovation I think left there. I think the next big change to the installer will be when it's redone from scratch, because there's an entirely better paradigm that we want to implement rather than sort of incremental changes to it.
Now, Red Hat, not too far back, made an announcement about developing a new desktop. Now, was that supposed to be for the corporate desktop, or was that going to be for end users?
You're probably talking about at the Red Hat Summit, there was an announcement that are working on some sort of online desktop project. I am not personally sure what the ultimate target market for that is going to be. I do know that one of the things that we're looking at with Fedora 8 is getting whatever code has sort of been written for this online desktop project integrated into Fedora in a way that either it's the default or it's a sort of option when you're installing Fedora that you can choose to enable or not. We're going to have to see how it comes together. I think that have any of you guys played with Mugshot? Do you guys know what that is at all?
No. What is that?
So Mugshot is a project that Red Hat has sort of been working on the side for the last couple of years. Havoc Pennington of GNOME fame has sort of been leading the team of folks within Red Hat that's been working on this, and it's a really interesting application. It's a take on social networking in the sense that it tries to connect users' desktops and what people are doing with their computers to each other, and it's been built in a way that it's been very organic. There haven't been any sort of business drivers placed upon it. They've had this idea, and they've been building it and sort of just seeing what happens. And right now, if you were to install it, it sits in your desktop, and you can. It's very, very social networking in the sense that you create a little profile for yourself. You join groups of friends associated with each other, right? So my profile, I go and I join the Fedora group, for example, and I can share web links with that group. I can subscribe my blog feed to that group, so whenever I post something to my blog, it'll send a little pop-up to anyone in that group who's running the Mugshot software, and it'll show them there's a new blog post, and they can comment on it, things like that. It'll share with people whatever sort of music I may be listening to. So it's a social networking kind of application. One of the things that they're looking at doing is using this and some of the technology that's been written around it in the new desktop idea, and you know, maybe now you'll be able to have a panel in GNOME that doesn't just launch your basic, you know, Firefox or Thunderbird or OpenOffice, but is tied in nicely to web services that people use a lot, like maybe some of the Google stuff or Flickr or things like that, and sort of find a way to make online services and the desktop feel a lot nicer working with each other than just Firefox. And I know what you're thinking, right? It all sounds very crazy and very pie in the sky, and it is sort of in the early stages of development, but one of the things that Fedora tries to do is serve as a, you know, sort of research area for Red Hat and a chance for people to use the Fedora, you know, environment to try around with new things. And so we'll see over the next few months how this technology works, and maybe one of the things that comes out in Fedora 8 will be the, you know, Fedora Online spin version 0.1, and people will be able to try it out. And, you know, I think it's a project that's got a couple year horizon probably from Red Hat's point of view, but Fedora will be where it sort of incrementally grows.
But let me ask you, how many Red Hat employees are actually involved in the Fedora project?
Great question. I thought you might ask that. We actually ran the numbers today. There are, so the way we kind of know that somebody is involved in the Fedora project is if they have gone through the process of signing up for a Fedora account, which allows them to contribute to the wiki or contribute to CVS or work on the docs or translate something or whatever. And so we looked today to see how many people were a part of that. And we had just over 1,000 non-Red Hat people who had gone through that process. and 275 Red Hat people who got through that process. So sort of, you know, about 1,300 active contributors to Fedora in one way or another. But as you can see, the vast majority of those are actually non-Red Hat folks, which is great.
That is quite amazing that there are that many community people involved in it.
Yeah, it's the way it should be, though. I mean, it's a community distribution that Red Hat sponsors, not a Red Hat distribution that we ask the community to help with. And that is what we've been working to make Fedora for the last couple of years. So I think with every release, we continue to achieve that goal more and more.
Now, the parts that the Red Hat employees work on, is that like the core components that'll eventually get pushed up into the Red Hat releases? Parts of the kernel? Is it kernel development and other like core parts?
Right. So it used to be, right, that everything that was in Fedora Core, as opposed to Fedora Extras, if it was in Fedora Core, to have commit access to that, you had to be a Red Hat employee, right? So community people could submit patches, file bugs against it, submit patches with their bugs, but it sort of went through a Red Hat middleman before it got into Core. Now that we've merged everything together, that no longer has to be a strict requirement, right? With the way we've got our build system set up now, is with a simple access control list so that we can say, well, the Red Hat kernel, well, the kernel's a bad example. Not a lot of people can hack on kernel, but let's say MySQL or something like that, right? The Red Hat MySQL maintainer is, programmer Bob, and he used to do it all by himself, and people would submit patches against MySQL, and he would integrate those patches, and he would work with upstream, but it all went through Bob. But the guy, let's say Joe, right, was the biggest Fedora contributor, who was always filing patches to Bob against MySQL, and they were really good patches. Now that everything is merged together, we can give both of those guys direct commit access to, the MySQL package or whatever package it might be. I'm just using that as an example. And so community and Red Hat together can work on that package. And there's plenty of packages that are completely community maintained, and no one from Red Hat works on them. Now, if you think a year, year and a half down the road, right, when I suppose RHEL 6 is going to be coming out, the engineering team within Red Hat that builds RHEL at any point in time will simply be able to say, okay, this is the Fedora snapshot that we want to use as our upstream. We're gonna snapshot that off. We're gonna fork it, and then everything that happens to build RHEL from there is completely within the walls of Red Hat, and they go on their merry way. And Fedora keeps serving as the upstream, and we just go about our business. So that's the way it's kind of been set up, so that the community can have. The community can have as much access as possible, and then when it comes time to go ahead and build RHEL, they can still do that without any trouble. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's good stuff, man. Now, do you guys still support... I know you guys have a version that installs on AMD 64. Do you guys still support PPC, or is that, that's been gone for a while now, right?
Nope. The three primary architectures for Fedora, and we did it for Fedora 7, was x86, x86-64, and PPC. So, on our torrent tracker, we have official Fedora 7s for all three of those architectures. Ultimately, a year from now, let's say, and I told you guys a year ago that what I wanted to do, and we managed to do it. Maybe if I say it here, it'll mean that it happens next year. A year from now, I would like to see us be able to have the community completely own PPC on Fedora and let the community be in a position to make a decision as to whether or not it's worth the effort that it takes to build and maintain PPC version of Fedora, and if they believe it is, that we have the tools in place for people to do that, and if they believe it's not, then that decision can be made as well. The truth is, when you look back at the installs that we saw for Fedora Core 6, PPC was like 0.3% of all Fedora Core 6 installs. You know, so compared to the other two main architectures, it had very little use. So there's some question, I guess, about the long term viability of PPC, but for the moment, it's a supported arch.
It's a tough thing because, you know, a lot of people have PPC, you know, old Apple users per se. You know, they're being left behind for the most part. And it seems more and more Linux distros are kind of doing away with PPC support.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Apple left them behind themselves, right, when they moved to the x86 processor. So, it's a tough thing, but... you know, we have a lot of people that we know sort of in the IBM world that come to us and they say, we're glad that Fedora continues to support PPC. And they say, you know, we understand that it's a lot of work and that you don't have a lot of PPC users. And they say, you know, help us be able to work with Fedora. You know, if we throw some of our engineers the problem, you know, we'll help you guys keep PPC going because they want to see it continue to be a supported architecture. So I think that's what we're going to kind of try to work toward and see if there's a way that we can find non-Red Hat engineers who can become a part of the Fedora community and help us to own and manage PPC so that we can keep it going. Because if we can, there's going to be people who use it. It doesn't have to be billions of people, you know, even if there's only, you know, 10,000 or something like that, still 10,000 people who can use the OS that's in the Red Hat family and that use Linux who maybe otherwise would be forced to go to some sort of proprietary OS. So, you know, if we can find a way to make it happen, we certainly will, and we're not pulling the plug in any sense, like, immediately. So,
well, kudos to you guys for still, you know, supporting it. One thing I did have to bring up, Max, is you got to give Red Hat credit for sticking to their guns, man. It seems a lot of different companies these days are making patent agreements with Microsoft, and it seems Red Hat is the only company that's out there that's basically saying, no, we're not going to deal with this. And thank God for that because, you know, it really means a lot that there's at least one company that's out there that's sticking to their guns and isn't afraid of Microsoft. So you know, pardon the pun, but hats off to Red Hat for freaking getting it done.
Well, thanks. You know, I think that the source, certainly within Red Hat's engineering circles, where something like that obviously is talked about very heavily because, you know, the open source passion and commitment that everyone has. If Red Hat ever made a deal like that, I think, you know, 80% of Red Hat's engineering team would quit the very next day. It would destroy the company. And it would also be a betrayal to everything that, you know, sort of has built the company and built the whole sort of, you know, open source world over the last 10 years or so. You can't make a deal with Microsoft like that for patent protection. I agree with you. I'm glad that people sort of support Red Hat for being firm in their stand.
I mean, some people, like, you know, they criticize Red Hat and Fedora for not, you know, implementing closed codecs out of the box. But, you know, not for nothing, you guys are very dedicated and very committed to the free software and the ideals behind it.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, isn't it? Because on one hand, Fedora has always maintained that really strong standpoint, and even before Fedora, I don't know, my time with Red Hat doesn't date back that far, but I seem to remember maybe even an old sort of one of the later versions of Red Hat Linux ripped out all MP3 support. And a choice was made, right, at some point to be pretty far over in terms of the level of purity that we demand for openness. And I get a lot of criticism every day. It's you know, the email that I get is probably split down the middle 50-50, and some people say thank you for not giving in and shipping stuff that enables, you know, proprietary codecs or, you know, NVIDIA or whatever, right? And half the email I get is, you're destroying Fedora, you should be fired, no one's going to use your operating system if I can't double-click an MP3 out of the box and have it just work. What are you doing with your job, you clown? So, you know, we believe, and me and the other kind of Fedora leadership people believe that the long term inevitability is that open source codecs need to happen, and that things like Ogg need to be the ones that take over the world, and short term concessions that maybe in the short term would get more users onto Fedora, in the long term aren't doing any favors for open source in general, and I think Red Hat as a company is kind of in the position to take that long term view, since it's already proved that it can make, you know, it can actually make make a profit in this industry, and there aren't a lot of companies that are, you know, competitors to Red Hat that are turning a profit. So I think we sort of have the ability to make that kind of an ideological decision.
I mean, I guess some people in the community want that ease of use out of the box, and, you know, all those codecs, you know, installed by default. But it really makes things difficult on you guys to be able to do that. You got to get the lawyers to go out and pay licensing fees to get that done. Now, some of the other distros have been, you know, making inroads in this. I know the Linspire people, they're gonna have Click and Run available. I believe Fedora is gonna be part of that, right? Click and Run. So if you do want
to, I've never tried their Click and Run, but I've heard that Fedora is one of the things that works underneath it. So yeah.
So you know, that option is out there for people if they want to go that route.
Mm-hmm. It is. Part of it is also a question of maintainability, right? If we start shipping. You know, say closed source drivers to help make certain wireless cards work or certain graphics cards work. How do we support that in any sort of scalable way? The answer is you can't, and it just adds a tremendous burden to any sort of support staff, either for Fedora or RHEL underneath Fedora. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. And even in the Fedora world, right? If you want that stuff, there's a repository that has all of it. And you go out, you add that repository to your Yum configuration, you go get what you need. Or you take Revisor, right, what I was talking about earlier, which lets you spin your own repo, spin your own distro, and you re-spin the ISO completely yourself and put that stuff in there. So users deserve choices. And so we make sure that Fedora users have the choice to do whatever they like. But we sort of say here's the starting point of what Fedora believes in, and you can go from there. You can go from there, and it'll work for you, or you can stick with what we say, and that'll work for you too. So you know, that's all you can do. I don't believe in taking away people's choices, but I do believe in sort of the initial stance that we take.
One of the questions from the IRC chat room is, you know, Max, I don't know if you can officially speak for Red Hat, but probably not, but for yourself, what are your thoughts on the new version, the GPL that's coming out? Release 3.
Yeah, you know, the honest answer is I haven't gone over it, like, you know, word by word, fully see all the differences between 2 and 3, partially because I know that we have lawyers within Red Hat who are doing that. You know, I wish I could give you a really good answer to that question. The last few months is getting Fedora 7 ready. I haven't really paid all that much attention to.
I don't blame you. You guys are probably really, really busy.
yeah, I'm sorry I don't have a better answer for you, but that's the true one.
That's okay. As far as going forward, what do you guys have on the roadmap for Fedora Core 8?
Yeah, couple things. I think you're going to see one of the things that's been kind of a problem for us, just from a planning perspective, is release slippage. All software slips, but the stated goal of the Fedora project is to release every 6 months. We have managed to do the last three releases, Fedora 5, 6, and 7, have been somewhere between 7 to 8 months, which isn't awful, but isn't quite what we wanted. But the result of that is that releases tend to come out at there's no consistency, right, as to when a release is going to come out. And we look at Fedora 8, and we say if we did the standard kind of development cycle for Fedora 8 that we've done for the last couple, that's going to be June 1st, and 6 months is December 1st, which really means that because of Thanksgiving and Christmas, you're not going to get a release out till after the new year. So things really start to drag, and none of us want that. So we're sort of taking the opportunity to try to sort of rebase the Fedora releases and cut Fedora 8's cycle shorter and try to do something targeted around Halloween. And then from there, go back to a six-month cycle and say, so Halloween and May 1st, for example, and try to plan something a little more consistent around there. So if we do something like that, and we say Halloween with the reading between the lines, what that means is we try to get it out before Thanksgiving, right? It's a shorter release cycle. I think you're going to see, Fedora 7 had tons of new stuff in it. That stuff needs a little bit of time to have the dust settle and kind of mature a little bit. A lot of the new compose tools and the build system, Reviser, need some time to get better. I know that the guys who work most deeply on the live CD creator tools, which is really the live foo tools, most interesting being live USB. We've got a live bootable USB stick for Fedora. We would like to make that more robust. We'd like to be able to make sure that the extra space on that that doesn't have your distro on it can be encrypted. So you can carry your whole computer around with you on a USB stick, and it's encrypted for you. So if you lose it, at least no one's reading your personal information. Of course, you no longer have your personal information, but that's a separate problem. What else? I've certainly been talking about Reviser a lot tonight, but I believe that the future of Fedora is represented in that application, and I would like to see us begin to develop something, and this isn't really tied to any particular release of Fedora, but I would like to see us begin to develop a web app that does the same thing and lets you go through a web application to very easily create a custom Fedora spin or a Fedora appliance or whatever you want to call it, and generate everything that comes out of that on the back end, and then basically just hand people a URL where they have an install tree or an ISO that they can download, and make it so that the whole custom Fedora generation process doesn't require anything more than a browser to make happen. That's some of the stuff that I suppose is kind of on the table.
It seems like the last few releases, the speed in Fedora Core has improved quite a bit. I guess one of my pet peeves with Linux distributions, it seems that certain distributions just try to pack everything, including the kitchen sink, in there, and things start to get bloated. I mean, even though like, GNOME and KDE, they've really made strides to keep things fast and not so heavy. It seems though with certain distributions it still happens. Is there any like way that you guys can do this consciously to keep from the distribution getting bloated and slow?
Yeah, well, Yes, in a roundabout kind of way, because
I mean, is this even
like
brought
you,
up or, amongst you?
Well, are you talking sort of from the perspective of a package manifest that doesn't continue to grow and grow because of dependencies, where all of a sudden, you know, you can't get a distro onto a single CD? Or are you talking about just, you know, desktops
just
get bigger and bigger and
just
more
the
RAM
general
gets slower?
Exactly, the day-to-day use, you know. Well, one of the things people
yeah.
criticize about Microsoft is its bloatware. And
yeah.
it seems though certain Linux distributions are becoming just as slow and bloated, if you know, as Microsoft is.
Yeah, well, I hear what you're saying. I guess directly, I don't really have any sort of response to that, other than you would think that the nature of open source would allow that problem to be self-correcting over time, whereas something like Windows would have a much harder time sort of self-correcting that because the code is closed. You would think that if any desktop environment got so bloated or so slow that it was becoming a detriment, that there would be some user base among that would say enough is enough. Let's step aside here and strip it down and speed it up and see what happens. Other than the sort of natural ecology of open source kind of working, I don't know. I certainly haven't. I guess I have other fish to fry. I won't say bigger, but other fish to fry than trying to speed up different window managers. I use Xterm for everything, so I'm kind of a Luddite, I suppose.
What do you have, like 30 terminal sessions opened up?
Pardon me?
You have like 30 terminal sessions
open up? I just open up a terminal with like 6 different tabs and maximize it on my screen and off I go. So.
There you go. Any real Linux geek will have that at least 2-3 terminals going in once.
Yeah, yeah. But it's kind of interesting, right? Like, sometimes I think about this, right? And I say to myself, well, you know, shouldn't I make a conscious effort to force myself to stop using the terminal and start using, you know, the more, you know, all the GUI tools or whatever for all this stuff? Because, you know, don't I have a responsibility, I suppose, on some level to be familiar with all those different use cases and how they work so that I can, you know, I guess, you know, make better suggestions or say, you know, this stuff is starting to be slow. Why don't we do something about that? And I often kind of think if I should sort of force myself to break my own usage habits of Linux, you know, many of which were formed, you know, going back almost 10 years for me probably, and try some other things that are sort of out of my comfort zone. But that's sort of, I only chew on that because it's 9:30 at night and I guess nothing else to think about. So.
You, speaking of your other fish to fry, Max, what do you see as your biggest obstacles for Fedora Core, and specifically, you know, your biggest obstacles towards the next release cycle?
Well, the biggest obstacle for the last year and a half, basically since I started my job with Fedora, has been achieved with Fedora 7. So in many ways right now, you know, it's been a week since the release. I've kind of been feeling like, you know, someone who's just ended a year and a half long fight and thinking, wow, what's the next big fight? I think that the biggest obstacle to doing anything in Fedora continues to be a question of leadership. Fedora is successful, and the parts of Fedora are successful that have strong leaders involved in them. Fedora Extras over years became very successful because of the leadership of guys like Thorsten Lemus and Greg de Koenigsberg, who helped build it, and you know, it was their baby, and they made sure that no one was gonna stop them from being successful at what they thought was right. you know, the merging of core and extras and the complete externalization of all things related to the entire Fedora build process was a decision made, you know, a year and a half ago by, you know, the Fedora board. And we said, this is what we think is the most important thing for Fedora, and we're not going to stop till we get it done. And, you know, it took a lot of meetings with various people within Red Hat management to convince them that our vision was right and that they should make sure that engineers within Red Hat had the freedom to do the work that was needed to do. It took a lot of explanation to our own community, saying, "Look, here's the long term play of where we're going to be in a year. You know, we need you to understand it. We'd like you to buy into it, so that we can all be successful together." So you know, the places where we have challenges in Fedora are where people have ideas but don't necessarily have the time or desire to be strong advocates for those ideas. In some sense, though, that's kind of okay because, you know, when you're developing open source software, the things that are most important tend to get done, right? And the things that don't get done, you can look back and say, well, maybe they weren't critical. And so that's part of what I like about Fedora. And open source in general, everyone has the freedom to see their own sort of goals through to the end.
All right, and another hard question for you: what is it that you believe is the strongest, or are the strongest selling points of Fedora? Why would everybody that's listening to the show want to pick Fedora over anything else? What makes Fedora the one?
Answer is the freedom that Fedora represents on a variety of levels. One is for the person who cares about open source from the ideological perspective. I think Fedora and the stances that Fedora has consistently taken, especially when you compare it to some of the other most prominent Linux distributions that waffle on those stances or make deals with closed source companies, I think you see that Fedora is demonstrated a commitment to open source and free software that hasn't wavered. I think from the perspective of a developer, the new world of Fedora development, I think, is got unlimited possibility. Anybody can be their own Fedora release engineer. Anyone can build their own Linux distribution with Fedora as a base and do it exactly the same as you know, the official sort of Fedora project folks, right? There is not a single drop of secret sauce anywhere within Fedora. And, you know, again, if you look at some of the other big distributions, not all of them can say the same thing, where the entire process is completely out there, and someone can insert themselves into that process at any point they like. So I think if you're a developer, Fedora gives you tremendous freedom and flexibility, and the end result of that, I think, we'll see over time, is that for end users, there's a lot more kind of really good choices that come out of Fedora. I think, you know, we're going to start to see people in foreign countries begin spinning their own versions of Fedora that are localized to their languages. And that are, you know, say someone in, say, Brazil, for example, right, they could spin up their own version of Fedora completely in Portuguese and as small as necessary to make sure it fits on one CD and, you know, therefore it doesn't consume a lot of bandwidth. And people can do that by themselves without having to come to us and say, hey, Fedora, we like you guys. Could you please build a version for us that does X, Y, and Z? People can just, technically savvy people, and you don't even have to be particularly technically savvy to do it, can build it on their own. So I think, you know, we strive very much, right? We call it the Fedora project, right? Not just Fedora. And so I think that we're at a place now where that project part of the word can start to have more meaning, because there's a lot of kind of ancillary stuff going on around the distribution that I think makes Fedora kind of a really good, you know, just a really good base of free software for people to work from. So there's my pitch for why you should use Fedora. Or at least give it a try if you haven't in the last couple of years.
Definitely. So what makes Fedora different from the other spin-off projects like CentOS or CentOS, however you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Well, Fedora, I mean, from a very strict point of view, Fedora is an upstream of CentOS, right? CentOS is a rebuild of RHEL, and RHEL is downstream of Fedora. So Fedora, you know, Fedora provides the sort of upstream basis of what is eventually going to become CentOS down the road. And you also see, you know, we have a kind of a unique relationship with those guys in the sense that there's a decent number of folks who work on the CentOS project who also are packagers for Fedora. And are active contributors to the Fedora project. So there's kind of a symbiosis there. You know, they're part of the they're part of the Red Hat family. And you know, one of the things that I know is on the roadmap of the developers who are working on Revisor and the custom spin tools is to make sure that people can use the tool to spin up custom versions of CentOS or RHEL also. So we try to kind of keep that general case, you know, Red Hat family distribution in mind when we build stuff, and Fedora is the upstream of all of it. So
it's good stuff. I definitely suggest, you know, people check out Fedora Core 7. You know, if they haven't seen Fedora Core in some time, definitely check it out. You know, I'm sure it's quite nice. You know, the last couple of releases have been good, and it seems to be getting better with every release.
Glad you like it, and I'm really really grateful that you guys let me back on your show. So.
Well, it's good that you know you guys have open communications, and you're more than welcome to come back. You know, maybe next time you can invite some of the guys to come on.
I'd love to. It'd be quite a hoot if you got a couple of us together. You guys wouldn't get a word in edgewise. So.
Now, wasn't there a Fedora podcast for a while? I could have sworn there was one.
There were two guys who work for Red Hat in Australia that were doing something called Fedora Reloaded. I don't remember the URL, but I think if you put that into Google, it would probably be whatever the first hit was.
Fedora, sort of, Australian for Linux.
And they were doing a Fedora podcast for a while. I've kind of been playing with the idea of doing one myself, you know, once a month or twice a month or something like that, if I could find the time and just... you know, record some of what's going on and grab some of the developers who work near me and, you know, add to the drivel out there on the internet, and maybe some people would listen to it. So we'll see.
Why not? The more the merrier. Well, Max, you're more than welcome to hang around. We're probably going to, you know, move on to some other topics. And you're more than willing, you know, to hang out if you'd like. If you're busy and you got to go, we understand.
I got to run, but thank you guys very much, and we'll begin.
Great. Thanks.
We want to thank you
for coming on,
and, you know, please keep us in mind. We'd love to have you back on in the future.
Sure thing, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Woof.
Woof.
Alan, you got a dog now, Alan?
No, it's the neighbor's dog.
It's a freaking nature trail over there, man.
It sounded like it was right in front of you.
Well, it actually was right next to me. Because, like, the porch is butt up to one another. I thought I had the mic on mute, but obviously I didn't.
What did it sound like? It sounded like one of those little Scotty Terriers.
No, it's like an Irish Setter type dog.
Okay, a little one.
It's just, like, extremely hyperactive. It just comes outside and barks. And as you can tell, it's barking at the window right now.
So. I'm sure that gets tired pretty quickly.
Barking at the smelly cigar man.
Meanwhile, Alan's blowing smoke at the dog.
Yeah.
Getting the dog all riled up.
Yeah.
No, because when it comes down onto the lawn, it can come right up next to right on the edge of the porch. Mm-hmm. It bounced up against the porch, and I thought for a second it was on the porch. I'm like, holy shit. And I didn't have the camera running for that one.
I don't know, man.
So what's going on this week,
fellas?
You
got birds and everything else going on over there, I hear.
Everyone's really busy, huh?
Oh, man, I've been crazy busy this week. I don't know about everybody else, but, well, you know, the crazy busy hasn't stopped since I moved. You know, it's just, it's varying degrees of it, I think. And tomorrow, my wife and daughter and my dog come home to stay permanently.
Thank God the dog's coming down.
Yeah, that's right. I got to have her. If the other two are coming, I got to have her so that I can, you know, have some way to relax. Yeah, right. But no, they're all coming down to stay, and this is it tomorrow. So I'm hoping that, you know, in a week or so or a couple weeks, I should be, you know, be able to start getting better organized and get things back to some sort of a normal degree around here. But it's just been nuts. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys have moved, like, by yourself. Well, yeah. I've done all this stuff by myself, you know what I mean? My wife and kid were back in, you know, back in Easton, and I had to take care of all this crap alone, you know, along with working 12-hour days. So it's just been crazy here. And then a couple weeks in, the addition of, like, my animals and stuff like that, who also need, you know, some degree of care, just, you know, increase things.
You're jonesing for to have the menagerie complete.
I gotta have my wife and kid back. I was gonna say something smart, like I need somebody to wash the dishes, but I really don't because I have a dishwasher now. So, but I do want them back around. You know, help things get to normal, and that'll be nice. I'll be able to relax a little bit easier.
So you don't have to go shopping anymore.
Right. Shopping. Shit, I didn't go shopping. That's what the phone is for, right? Call the pizza man.
When I had my house, my other house over in Easton on it for a while there, shopping consists of bread, milk, and peanut butter.
I should take a picture of my refrigerator. I have a bottle of wine in there, a half a case of soda, some kind of crap that my daughter was cooking last weekend. It's in a bowl in there. And I think that's it.
Try it.
I have, oh no, and there's condiments. So some kind of bowl of slop, wine, soda, and, you know, mustard. That's it, dude.
Sounds like a bachelor pad.
Oh yeah.
What more do you need?
I have ice too, but that's not really in the refrigerator.
You've got like 100 packets of like Taco Bell hot sauce.
No, I got the big old industrial, you know, ketchup bottle and a mustard.
Dishes consist of the pan that you cooked it in.
That's right.
Paper plates rule.
No, man, the pan that you cooked
pan
it in.
A pan and a fork. That's it.
That's all you need, man.
That's all a bachelor has to have.
That's all I needed.
I don't even need that because I don't need a pan to cook my, you know, to cook my, freaking ramen noodles.
Ugh, you eat that stuff,
you get the cup of soup ones, you just pour hot water in, and go. That's it. You're good.
I stopped eating those in college, man.
Oh, really?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it eating them now either, because, like, I try to inhale them so fast that I don't taste them, because they taste like cardboard, you know?
A lot better, man? They have Thai food noodles that are like that, but they're actually really good.
Really? I just looked them up.
Yeah, well, next
actually,
time
I'm hoping I don't have to look them up because my wife is coming here. Maybe she can cook something for me, you know?
That's even better.
The first thing she's going to get you is a cup of soup ramen noodles. You're used to this now. You ought to eat it all the time.
Yeah, right. How about we send these for lunch or something? No. I've been living off them for a month, man. I'm going to turn into a ramen noodle.
Ugh, that stuff is awful. It's all sodium.
What's if you use the packet? The trick to those noodles is to not use the packet and to use something else.
Nah, see, I'm not even using, like, the flat packets of them, making them that way.
I got the cup of soup ones.
I have no choice. Yeah. But you know what? The stuff that's in there, you get little vegetables and stuff in that one, which are all right, except for really the idea of the vegetables is a good idea, but in reality, they taste like cardboard, just like the noodles do. So you get little cardboard pieces of corn, and then, like, the little carrots in there taste like, I don't know, plastic or something like that.
You get some frozen peas or frozen corn, you throw it in there while while the water's boiling. Then you put the Raymonds in there. You let it sit for 3 minutes. You got a meal.
Sure.
A little soy sauce sometimes. Or
stay away from that shit, man.
Sprinkled cheese. You're good to go.
I'd rather stop at Wegmans and hit the Chinese bar there.
Yeah, way better, yeah. True.
Yeah. That actually tastes like food.
Or like when Dan was living by himself in Bethlehem when his family moved down.
Yeah.
He was like eating like Chinese food every day for like 3 months straight.
Hey, it works for Chinese people, right? Why not? What the hell? Look at them. You ever seen a really fat Chinese person? Maybe I ought to do that, you know?
Actually, I have. I've seen several.
Me at the Wegmans. I'm just going to hit that until I start, you know, looking nice and skinny.
So have you guys done any techie stuff this week or at all or no?
I set my computer up in my on my desk. I put a picture out on my weblog if anybody looked at it.
Saw that. You got the Retina table going? Very nice.
Yeah, I got my two systems hanging out on the newfangled wrestling table, the plastic ones. I kind of like it, too. But, you know, I got that going. And in order to get that going, I couldn't run a wire, you know. So I had to buy this $100 game adapter and get that hooked up. That's sitting on top of my main Linux box, and it literally it's a Linksys game adapter.
Really? You got it working?
Yeah, it works.
You're
fine.
Gonna have to come up and try to get my. I got to either come up or you're gonna. I'm gonna have to come down and you can see if you can get mine working.
Yeah, it works fine.
Get that,
but it only
get working for the life of me.
It works fine. But the thing that's killing me is, like, I spent $100 on this, and the only thing it's doing is pushing my Wi-Fi signal 4 feet. You know what I mean? It's 4 feet, dude. It goes through two walls and a closet, and that's it. That's the only thing it's doing for $100. And, you know, everybody in the world, after they found out that I bought this thing for $100 out of work, and everybody in the world has emailed me about using, like, DDWRT, on such and such piece of hardware and stuff like that. But you know what? You can't find any of that hardware in a store.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the problem. That's the sucky thing about that. I would love to have gotten away with $25 doing it. But the problem is, like, I needed to have this thing working, and I didn't want to screw with it for a month. And the best solution I could come up with was to walk to Staples and buy a freaking Linksys game adapter. And, you know, but I'm bumped. That's it. It's up and working.
When I come down to visit, I'm going to bring mine. You can show me how you got it working. Cause
oh, yeah, man. It's mine, not hard.
It shouldn't be, no. And I had this one working. I had one of those a while back. I was using it downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I had it working for a while. And then, you know, when I changed all my stuff around, I just sort of, like, forgot about it and just left it downstairs. I went to go fire it up over the weekend. I could not get that motherfucker working for the life of me. I just put our explicit tag up there, but it just would not work.
Forgot your IP address on it or something.
Well, I could get into the box as long as I hooked it up, but be damned if I could do anything past that. I mean, I would give it my I would give it my passwords and, you know, what box to look at on it. It just would not work. As soon as you unplugged it to try to plug it into, you know, another box to actually make it work like it's supposed to, it just sort of sat there. Lights flashing,
nice.
Behind nobody home.
That sucks, dude. That sucks. They're saying, like, why not? You're looking at the IRC, everybody's saying, oh, you could just use an Ethernet cable and drill a hole through the wall. Nah, it's a new apartment, can't do that. Power over Ethernet means just what that is, power over Ethernet. What you probably mean is Ethernet over power lines, but that's not going to work either. A lot of those adapt, and there's also this thing, you can do that Ethernet or your networking over a cable, your existing cable connections. You guys seen them? Those are pretty cool too. However, my cable connection is way on the other side of my room, so... You know, that didn't work either. Nothing would have worked. See, that's the thing. The only alternative I had, other than, you know, drilling a hole through the wall and really pissing off my brand new landlord, is for me to use, you know, a wireless connection. And, yeah, I could have waited and dicked around and done a $25 wireless connection. Or I could have just spent $100 and that works the same day, which is what I... Hindsight being 2020, I would advocate, if you have the time, you know, to go the $25 route and do it that way. Get, you know, run DDWRT on something and have it work. Or even, you know, if I had paid more attention, the wireless router that I have that I could find actually has a bridging mode inside it. So I could have bought another wireless router, an identical wireless router, and had that bridge.
Just sitting up in my room.
Yeah, but I don't. That Linksys one, I don't think has a bridge mode. The one that I'm using now is a Belkin, which does have a bridge mode. So I could have just bought another one.
The one you left over here was only a B, anyways.
Yeah. But you know,
internet over smoke signals. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, look
at
that.
Excuse me for about 2 minutes here. I got to go put out my cigar, so I'll be right back.
All righty, guys.
So what happened to Dan? Is he still alive?
I'm thinking that Dan is still alive. I hope Dan is still alive.
At least he muted
his mic. He's
busy. We don't hear American Idol cranked. Is that still going, actually? It's probably over by now.
I hope it's over.
I don't even know.
I sincerely hope it is.
Well, I'm going to download Fedora 7 and check it out, man.
I think I might like to check it out myself, because at my new job, they do a whole lot of RHEL stuff. And I think that my best alternative to be able to play with some of that stuff is, you know, is Fedora Core, or just Fedora 7. Not that I couldn't, you know, I'm sure get a copy of RHEL 5 or something to install, but I probably will check that out just so I can, you know, play a little bit in the Red Hat family.
Yep, just for the virtualization stuff alone, it sounds like it might be worth checking out. And that remixed distro spinner thing, that sounds pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Cut your own distributions. That's pretty cool. Good stuff.
Link's a skateboarder, too. Huh? You're a surf punk.
What's that supposed to be?
What'd he say? In his pictures, he's got a skateboard in his
That's my kid's skateboards, but they're like picking on me on the IRC. I just told them, I will have you know that I used to skateboard a long time ago, and I was good at it at the time. And I was, damn it.
Well, you can
Back when I lived in Snohomish, Washington, I used to skateboard all the time.
Well, like, you're in the city now, so like when you get off the train, you skateboard into work.
Sure. Sure. Wouldn't that attract some attention? Ah, look at the fat guy running down the road on a skateboard. It's a bus. Holy shit, get out of the way. Yeah.
Wait.
Big, huge thing rolling down the road on four wheels. Oh, yeah. The truck. It's a bus. No, it's Link on a skateboard. Nah, I don't think so. Actually, I would do it if it was that way. But what it would really be like is me stepping on the skateboard going off, you know, in one direction really fast, and me hitting the ground really hard. Just whoop-ah! And, you know, we don't need to be causing mass panic for running up numbers on the Richter scale in Center City, Philly.
The bus has fallen off its wheels.
Yeah, that's right. Nope. I'm just getting the hang of my sneakers again, you know, that whole walking thing in Philly. You know what? Everybody in the city walks so freaking fast. You wouldn't believe it, man.
To get somewhere, yeah.
You get there
Holy
faster.
Crap. I can't figure it out. Like, I understand the people that pass me up there like 3 feet taller than I am and have that 8-foot stride, you know what I mean? I can understand them passing me up. What I can't figure out is I get people that are a foot shorter than I am that pass me up have the same stride that I have, I can't figure that out. Like, mathematically, that is not possible. If they're walking the same speed I am, and they're shorter than me, they should not be passing me. I can't figure it out. Some kind of, you know, something I'm missing. They got roller skates on their sneakers, or some kind of city-born time warp thing that no one told me about, or some kind of crap. I don't know what it is.
Well, you can get those, but, wheelie sneakers there.
I need something, man. What I really need is, you know, to have roller skates, and then I just lasso one of them suckers as they go on by, and I can just ride along by. Yeah, that's right. I can just ride along behind them, you know, and maybe that would work, or a little wagon or something
grab
I can jump in and grab on
it.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be the thing. But I cannot figure out how these people walk so damn fast. And what kills me is, like, my wife and kid came up last weekend, and we walked around a little bit, and they're bitching at me because I'm walking really fast, right? You know, whoa, Dad, you're walking really fast. And my wife, you know, she's like, you know, 14 lengths behind me. How come you're walking so fast? And I'm walking slow, right? Like, people passing me, like I'm chained to the sidewalk or something. And I can't figure it out. It's some weird walking mechanic or something that I just haven't caught on to yet, I guess.
You're like living in the city now, so you gotta like adopt the new habits.
You're not
up here in the country anymore.
Yeah, but I can't figure it out. Like I said, if you look at it, you can't figure the logistics out unless these people are like dislocating their hips or something, you know what I mean? But it's interesting. You'd have to like set a video camera on it or something. But I don't know, one of these days I'll figure it out.
You just have to learn to speed walk.
That's what it is. But you know what? They don't really speed walk either, because you know the speed walking people, how gay they look. You know, all faggy walking around like that, like they got a big stick up their butt or something.
Yeah, they usually have one of those fanny packs too.
Yeah, the fanny pack. It's to hold the stick in. But no, these people don't do that. They don't have that.
That's amazing.
You know,
you actually see people with
walk.
Those freaking things. Man, them
that's
and mullets,
so funny.
Man.
Oh man,
there's still people with freaking mullets walking around.
But
it's amazing. It's like a freaking time warp or something.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, people with customs different from our own now.
Yes.
Hey, leave people's beliefs and the way they look alone. You shouldn't judge people by the way they look.
They walk all funny with a fanny pack.
Dan with a mullet. A mullet and a stick up his ass there.
You probably like that.
T's sending off bad images here.
I don't know, but you know what? It really has been interesting being in the city. It's very nice in the city where I am, right in Center City. There's a lot of security there because, you know, like my college is a huge complex, right? And they have, you know, there's literally when I walk, you know, back to the train in the evening, there's got to be a security guard. Out of every building, you know what I mean? Like every corner of every building, just hanging out on the sidewalk, watching to make sure everybody's cool. And it's really nice. It makes everything, you know, nice and peaceful, and everything goes right along. And the people are really, really nice. And it's just really, it's really odd, really weird.
I had to drive down there one time. I had to go to a federal court.
Oh, man.
I was called in for jury duty in federal court.
Couple blocks away from where I work, yep.
No,
parking down there is a bitch, isn't it?
Well, at the time, you could still park. They still had the, I don't know if they still do, they still had the underground parking there over by the Liberty Bell, which I don't think they have anymore.
I have no idea.
So I have no clue where you park now, but I mean, for me, it was just like I was dreading that I would be stuck down there for like a long trial. But thankfully, I didn't get picked, and they didn't need anybody for a second day. But
I just couldn't stand it because I hate driving in the city. So you got it easy because you're taking the train in. If you had to drive, it'd be miserable.
Yeah, man.
No, it's crazy, man.
If you work in the city, you got to take public transportation.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Like, every day when I'm taking the train in and I'm taking the train home, I pass up, 95. And I say to myself every time, that's exactly why I'm not driving, man. Because it's just miles of cars, like a parking lot in every lane, backed up until you can't even see them anymore. And, the train, as slow as it goes, is still going, dude. So that makes it good.
Well, I've determined that if I ever have to sit out here again for a cigar, I need a light, because it's almost impossible to see the keyboard right now.
Let me guess, I'm smoking a Nat Sherman.
No, I had a Cigars International, they have what they call a Legend Series. It's like a different cigar from a different manufacturer.
A sampler pack, kind of?
Well, it's not a sampler pack. I mean, you can't get them that way on it, but they just have a series of them. I mean, this was their copper label one, which was a really good one, actually, on it. Mild cigar, wasn't overpowering, really nice.
So
I'm just realizing that, it's almost impossible to see the black keyboard here.
Is your wife letting you smoke in the house, or are you relegated to outside?
I could, but I don't, because I'd rather keep the house smelling clean. For the once or twice a month that I smoke a cigar, it's just as easy to step outside for it. Or go up to the store and smoke, but...
It's getting late.
Where is Dan? Where is Dan?
Somebody give him a call on the phone saying, hey, remember the show?
So should we drop the bomb now?
Yeah.
Or wait?
Might as well.
Okay, everybody, here's the bomb.
This is the last show we're doing ever.
Yep, this is the last show that we're going to do for a month. All of us have been extremely busy lately, and we need a little while to recuperate. So we have collectively decided that we will postpone the tech show for 1 month. This is our one-month hiatus in our 3 years of runtime. So, in this one-month holiday that we're going to take, what we would like is for you, our haggard listeners, to please come up with some kind of content.
Maybe the Pound Tech Show people can get their shit together.
Yeah, we all thought it would be really cool if some of you guys came up with some stuff that, you know, that you could share with the other listeners and with us at the same time. That'd give you guys an opportunity to have your voices heard and everything, and it'd give us an opportunity for a much needed rest. So, that being the case, have at it. We're gonna, hand over the reins to you guys for 1 month, and then we're going to be back on, hopefully bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with all sorts of new enthusiasm that we can throw at the show, because we've had time to take care of the impending and pressing shit that is our cumulative lives. Right?
You guys could do call-in, but we only have one line, so call-in would be hard.
Right.
Troll says that him and Alex want to do a show.
They're going to do it. That's great. That's awesome, man.
And they're on for next week, then.
We'll set you up with guest accounts. The guys can, use VoIP client.
Yeah, bada bing, man. Sounds
maybe,
good.
Maybe you can even get Dan to start the stream, and you're on your way.
We have to talk with Dan first, because we got to find out whether they can do it live or not, because if Dan's not able to get here because of stuff. Maybe better for everyone to record a show.
Yeah, we can do that.
Worst comes to worst, if you guys have some content or a show that you recorded and you want to get it on and sent out, you just drop drop us an email at techshow@thelinuxlink.net, and Dan and I will make sure that the that this stuff gets where it needs to be, so that everybody can pick it up in their everybody can pick it up in their feeds, and we'll make sure it gets on the archive site and all that happy stuff too.
Yep. So we're just taking a little break. We haven't really taken a break since we started this whole thing.
Yeah, we've never taken a break. We've taken
a week here. We've
taken a week here and a week there. Yeah.
Christmas off and New Year's the one couple times, but
nothing any longer than that. And this time we just everybody's got so much shit going on that they need to get caught up on, and that we really need to have a sanity break for a little while. And like I said, hopefully it's going to enable people like Dan and I specifically to get back on the show with some with some renewed enthusiasm and the ability to actually pay attention to what's going on,
People don't realize it is actually, after a while, it is hard to do. I mean, you just think we get on and talk, and a lot of times that's what we do. We've never actually ever planned a show, I don't think, on it outside of planning who the guests are going to be on it. But, it does get tough sometimes, especially when there's a lot of other things going on. It is tough to do.
Well, to be honest,
to do it live.
I don't have any guests lined up because I've been, so busy helping my wife with the baby. So this will give me a chance to actually go out and line up some really good guests.
Exactly, yeah. It gives us all time to get ourselves a little bit better organized. I definitely need to, because like I said, I just, I told Pat a few minutes ago in the other IRC channel that, he said, "You have any questions for our guest?" And I said, I didn't even know who the hell the guest was until quarter eight, I had no clue, man. And that was after I got off the phone with Alan, right? And I was calling Alan up, trying to get stuff arranged with him, too.
Oh, by the way, I've got you doubly recorded here.
Yeah.
I put it on TiVo as well, so
awesome.
For some reason, it didn't look right when I put it up on the Mythbox. Something didn't look right when I did that recording on it, so I put it down on TiVo as well. So.
Cool. Well, yeah, I called up Alan. I asked him to record the stuff on the Sci-Fi channel tonight, because I wanted to watch the brand new episode of Ghost Hunters, and there's some other series that comes on after that. I can't ever remember the name. But, it's another thing I wanted to watch. I haven't even watched TV since I've been here.
And you're that much smarter for it now, right?
Probably, yeah. I've caught a half a show a couple of times, and both times it's been that The Deadliest Catch show, which is a good show, right? About they do the crab fishing and stuff the Bering Sea kind of deal on Discovery Channel. So I know that there's two channels that I get here in Downingtown. I know what channel the Sci-Fi channel is, and I know what channel Discovery Channel is. I really don't think I need any other channels.
Universe,
right?
The Universe, if you've seen that one. That's actually pretty good, too.
But, once I get those two channels, and History Channel I'd like to get, too, but I haven't found that one yet.
Maybe in the 4 weeks that we're off, we can post Ben's mashup of his favorite episodes. All the disgusting stories that Dan tells and some other episodes. Maybe we can put that up.
We should just retitle that, though, The Best of Dan.
Best of Dan, yeah.
The Best of Dan. Oh, man.
Maybe we can do a couple episodes of Pound Tech Show. Those guys can get together and do that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, man.
And before I know it, we'll be back and better than ever. We will hit 200. We will not be denied.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And it's a big milestone for us, 200, because that's not like you've seen the other guys that do podcasts that are up at, in the hundreds of episodes.
50.
They do
60.
One every day, right? This is 200 episodes for us. That represents 200 weeks of Tech Show episodes. That's
a long freaking time, man.
And
actually, it's 200 weeks of live shows.
Yeah, 200 weeks of live shows, and most of the shows are 2 hours plus long.
Audio half the time. We don't go back and remix anything.
That's right. Yeah, and most of our shows are 2+ hours long, so you're looking at somewhere between 400 and 500 hours of live tech show goodness on our 200th show. That's a lot, dude. It lives back in goodness.
Well, in the month off, I'm probably going to put some posts on the forum and ask what you guys want to hear about. What do you want us to do? Maybe we can come up with some new segments.
Definitely.
You know, when we come back, something different. Maybe we can change to improve the show. I'm down for you know, tweaking things as we go along, man. I don't have a problem with that. And anything that improves the show, I'm game. If you guys have suggestions, please let us know. I'll put some posts on the forum. You know, I'll revive the thread of, you know, who do you want us to interview. You know, and we'll come back. We'll be bigger and better than ever, man.
Yeah, really, and even, you know, even some of the people that we've... even if some of the people that we've already interviewed, like some of the interviews we've done are really, really good. I've forgotten, frankly, you know, some of the people that we interviewed way back in our early episodes. I think it would be great. Yeah, but I mean, I think it would be great to give some of those people who we interviewed in our early episodes another turn, another fair shake, because we're better at it now. You know what I mean? So, and then we got to have... you know, sometime in the future, we have to have our old standbys back on, like Marcel and stuff like that.
Yeah, Marcel's definitely a returnee that we want to have back on, man. He's a great guest, Marcel.
200. We ought to get him on our 200th show. Wasn't he on our 100th show?
Yes, he was.
We'll have to have him on 200, too.
He was the very first interview we did.
Yep. We'll have to have him on 200, too. He's our milestone guy, you know?
No, RMS, nah, I think so.
No more RMS. You guys are crazy.
Buck says,
I had all I could do the last time, you know?
Buck says, Pat, come back a week early and interview RMS without Link knowing.
Well, it really doesn't matter if I don't know, you know? If I'm not on the show, it really doesn't matter, so. But, you know, of course, it's not my show anyway when they have RMS on, because then all of a sudden it's the GNU Linux Link Tech Show.
Link Tech Show, yeah.
But if you listen to that episode, we never said that the second time around.
That's right. We never said it the second time. Kudos for that one, man. Yep. No sellout on the second show.
Brian, if you can get us Linus for the 201, he can be on it.
Dude, yeah. You guys line us on the 200 show, and we'll let you interview him.
I actually sent a letter to Linus Torvalds to his home address.
Like a snail mail letter kind of thing?
Yeah, I wrote a letter and I sent it to him not too long ago.
Dude, you should send it to him like registered mail. You know what I mean? So we know somebody signed for the damn thing.
Well, we actually do know a couple of people that are friendly with him. If he doesn't respond, my next tact is to go maybe through them.
Yeah. I would love to get him on for a show, too.
I'm sure he's a very busy guy. I mean, I'm sure he's just so busy. But we got to talk to him at some point. We got to get him on.
Oh, yeah. Even if it's a pre-recorded blurb for a couple of minutes, that would be awesome, you know? Like to hear from him.
Lord Dragonblood says, interview Bomber. I put Bomber on, and I curse him out and hang up on him.
I'd love to do that. You suck!
You
stop talking! Plonk. Yep.
How unprofessional.
But that would be funny, wouldn't it?
Developers, 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 developers.
Oh, man. Here we go.
And they're playing lowly in the background, just very lowly in the background all the time.
I love this, man. I'm using once again, right? Because I still have not hooked up my Asterisk box over here yet. See, once again, I really do need to have some time off. Still haven't hooked my Asterisk box up over here, so I don't have any home phone service. And I've been using the Gizmo project to call in and do the shows, the last couple of shows. I really like it. And down the middle, after you're dialed in, they have these buttons, right? They have laughing, typewriter, tiger, thunder alarm, tires, and boing. They're cooler than shit, man. I love this. But I just been waiting to have an opportune time. Yeah, see? I just noticed it myself. I just listened to them. They're really cool, man.
I didn't even see that on there.
Oh, you got a horse.
What the hell's going on at Lynx, man?
No, it's not me. This is Alan. He must have more than I have. I only have a couple.
Get off the show!
That's just really annoying there.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
Now that's cool.
Oh, I don't have that one.
Yeah, you got different ones than I have. But I think it's really cool, and I can't believe I haven't been playing with this for longer. Gizmo Project is a cool thing. I don't care that it's proprietary.
You're going to get an email. Link, why do you hate freedom?
Yeah, I know. I get those all the time, you know? Link hates freedom.
Yeah, but I've got barking dogs.
Yeah.
Freedom hating. What is your problem?
I'm the freedom hater, and they hate me because I don't give a shit about proprietary drivers as long as they're available for Linux, you know? Why don't you use the free NVIDIA driver? Because I don't give a shit. Yeah, I don't give a shit, right?
It sucks. I want to play my games in 3D acceleration.
I don't have a problem with paying for some of my software as long as it works well. That's
well,
all there is to
my argument. I don't have a problem paying with stuff. But yeah, but like I said, it's got to work well.
Yeah, it's got to work well. You
if
know?
You have if you have to identify yourself as either free or open camp, what are you? Let's go around and ask.
I'm an open person, you know. I'm an open source guy.
I'm open
whatever
source
works.
Too.
I'm an open source guy. I'm not a free software guy because I don't think all software should be free. I don't think that gives you an opportunity to make money, not in the way that I as a programmer would want to make money. However, I'm all for open source, you know.
I think Dan's going to say he's for free.
Yeah. I'm an open source guy.
I'm open source too.
We don't know what Dan's going to say because, you know, Dan is a... You know, mysteriously absent.
Yeah, I know, he disappeared. We're going to have to keep talking if he never comes back.
This might be like a 4-hour tech
it's gonna be
show.
A 4-hour episode.
Yeah. Dan's in there sleeping
or
something
who's
like that.
He's got his phone number. I have to call him about quarter after.
He OD'd, man.
Dan, you know, we're still on the show, dude. You want to turn the stream off?
Yeah. We're done now. You can stop.
What a trip. And speaking of trips, I had a
really
friend of mine.
Man.
Yeah, a really wild one, man. I had a friend of mine loan me, because I've been bored shitless, you know. Actually, I really haven't been bored shitless, but I've been too bored shitless to, like, look at stupid shit on TV when I had a few minutes downtime. And so I had a friend loan me his DVD set. What the hell do you call it? Oh, I don't even know what the hell it is now. Schoolhouse Rock DVD set.
There you go. Conjunction Junction.
Cool.
I have that CD.
It's been like, you know, a million years since I've seen any of those, and they're really, really funny.
I'm just a pill, yes, I'm only a bill.
Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, man.
About that one.
The perfect number.
Yeah. That's awesome stuff, man. And you know what? The kids these days just don't have cool shit like that on. They just don't. They get better toys these days, but they don't have cool shit like that on TV. They have stupid things like Barney. Like, how dumb can you get? Barney and the Teletubbies and SpongeBob. None of them are worth
a shit.
Hey,
I'm getting a Transformer Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, but the Transformers were pretty cool, you know?
This is a Mr. Potato Head, so it's
there was,
even cooler.
There was something intelligent going on with that. Yeah, Mr. Potato Head has always been cool. But like the Teletubbies, dude, they don't even talk.
Yeah.
You know? The most intelligent thing they do is eat toast. What the hell is that all about? You know,
and one of them carries a purse.
Yeah,
just he's like, gay.
Why don't you just why don't you just make sure that everything is, you know, completely worthless that your kid is going
to
watch?
You want your kids to turn out retarded, man? Put them in front of SpongeBob 24 hours 7, man.
Oh, man.
They'll turn into retards.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
And I don't even watch it on there.
Now you got that freaking thing stuck in my head, you bastard, you.
Yeah, where'd Speed Racer go?
That was a good cartoon, too.
There's a movie coming out next year of it.
That'd be cool. I can't wait to see the Transformers movie that's coming out.
Yeah, I actually want to go see that. When's that due out?
July 4th.
July 4th?
Yep. July 4th.
From the same people that bought you Independence Day, where
they
destroyed an alien spacecraft with a crappy old Apple laptop.
Dude, did you see the previews for that yet?
Looks cool.
I've seen some, yeah.
It looks
good.
Awesome. I'm going. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go watch it. I don't care how stupid and retarded I look standing in line with a bunch of 12-year-olds. I'm going to see it.
I don't think it will be 12-year-olds, to be honest, man, because they don't know.
It'll be a bunch of 30-something-year-olds like me. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's going to be
get out of my way, you little punk. I'm getting in there, yeah.
It's going to be a bunch of 30-year-olds with their little kids.
Yeah. Kicking the 12-year-olds out of line. Get out of the way.
Daddy remembers when this was a cartoon.
Transformers, more than meets the eye.
Optimus Prime runs Linux, JZA says. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to do one ticky thing during the break, what is it going to be?
One what thing?
One ticky thing to do during the break.
One ticky thing? I have to set up my network, dude. Like, I'm so far behind. I have to set my printer up. You know, my network printer, I haven't set that up yet. I still have my mail server that I have to rebuild and set up. I've got all my old website stuff that I have to do something with, like the Bash Potter site.
Has been down
most of the month. I'm going to put that up on linkgeek.org somewhere, you know, because link.homeunix.org is no longer.
Now, are you hosting your new blog, or is that...
Linkgeek.org. That's the same. It's the same provider that we use for TLLTS.org.
Okay.
Linkgeek.org is the main account under that.
So you have a host doing it for you.
Right. I got blue.
I don't know. I didn't get any of that.
Wow.
Yeah, he sounds like crap, man.
You just, like, went completely out on that one. Like, try that one again.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Dan's back. Hey.
Dan came back.
Yeah, Dan came back.
Dan, are you open source or free software?
Are you going to see the Transformers movie?
I'm going to see the Transformers movie.
Free or open, Dan?
Well, I'm all pretty much, if I had a choice between the two, it would be free.
I knew it.
Why?
We did predict that.
But links back.
But I'm not opposed to open source, nor am I opposed to, you know, if the only other solution is closed. Having to suck it up. I'm a realist. I like the freedom of choice.
That's fine.
I know you're all about
open
source, Pat, right?
Yeah, I am more open. If I had to identify where I stand, open, definitely.
And the big question of the week is, why does Link hate freedom?
I know. We asked him the same question, and he didn't have a good response.
And now he has no response.
I know. We could say anything we want about him right now, and he can't say a damn thing.
I thought he popped back on.
I think he's having trouble with his ISP or something.
That's
bandwidth issues, maybe.
Wait, who does he have again? It's not Cox.
Down there?
Yeah.
Comcast?
Comcast,
yeah.
Woo!
That's the problem.
There he is. So, I take it you discussed about the month off, huh?
Yes, we discussed that we're going on a 4-week hiatus.
And we're soliciting listener commentaries and stuff.
Cool. Where are they going to come to?
Content, excuse me.
What's that?
Excuse me.
Well, I guess we'll have to post something on a forum as to where they can send that content to.
Yeah, well, Ben's got that one episode. Maybe we can put that out.
That'll tick everybody off.
I know.
Yeah, well, we didn't piss everybody off the first time.
I think what we should do, if anybody, you know, submits content, you know, Trolls and Alex and those guys or whoever, we should have a little bumper that says, you know, we're on our 4-week hiatus and we'll be back in the meantime. Listen to this.
Yeah,
in the meantime, not safe for work. Listen to this.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I don't think I did. I got to say, I've not been happy with the new version of XFCE. It's been dog slow on my Arch workstation, so now I've switched back to Fluxbox. Not that I notice much of a difference, because like you said, I set up my window managers, no matter what they are, all the same. Very Spartan.
I'm surprised you're not running OpenBox, Dan. Have you ever seen OpenBox? It's absolutely nothing on there.
Really? Let me see if I can get that.
Yeah, you might like that.
Huh.
It's absolutely nothing. It's a blank screen.
Let's see if that exists. Huh. Just a blank screen, huh? No menu, nothing, huh?
Nothing.
Is that like rat poison?
You can do a right click and you can pop in some application launchers type things in there.
There we go. It's rat poison. Dun, dun, dun. What is... I thought there was a... I don't use Pac-Man enough.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
He's back.
He's on the phone.
Yeah, I'm calling back on my cell phone. I don't know what the hell happened, but I was just talking along, and all of a sudden you guys weren't hearing me anymore. It suspiciously happened around the same time that Dan got on, though.
Yeah, that was interesting. I plugged in my microphone and you disappeared.
Freaking shit.
I hear voices in my... I hear my kids doing things they're not supposed to.
Oh.
Oh, and...
Tell Paige to get out of your spot and get the bed.
Well, I correctly predicted Dan identifies more with free than open.
Ay. How's the gaming coming along there, Pat?
I think I've pretty much done with it for now.
Oh, yeah? You got to go back to work soon, don't you?
Yeah, next Monday.
Yeah, back to the real world.
Okay, I enjoyed my time off, man.
Hey, who are you guys saying you got to get on as a guest?
Linus Torvalds.
Oh.
We need Marcel on for episode 200, too.
Yeah. When is episode 200?
Well, it's a different date than it was before. We announced we're taking 4 weeks off.
What episode are we on now? We're on...
195? Okay. 195 or... Yeah, 195.
I'll find out when I put it up.
Did you ever figure out what happened with the last week's one? Why only like 6 minutes of it came out?
I have no idea. I gave up and I deleted it. So I don't know why. I'll have to look into that again this week. I don't know why it did that. So the people who got the MP3 got the bonus content. And I actually listened to that today. and the bonus content was really interesting. I'm sure Alan appreciated the bonus content there.
I'm frightened because I didn't listen to it. So.
You're going to have to download and listen to it, my friend.
I'll have to download it and view it now and then listen to it.
It's good we're taking 4 weeks off.
Good thing I listened to it right now.
I better go load my rifle.
You'll see a gold wing coming through your front window.
Go pick up some 30-round clips for my AK.
I'll be back.
I know where you hide.
Oh, man. Damn. So I guess our guest
probably,
was awesome,
probably
wasn't
just
he?
As well I didn't listen to it.
Our guest was awesome, wasn't he?
Yeah, Max is good, man.
He's,
those guys are doing good work.
They are. Yay, Fedora.
Dan, I have one request.
Yay, beer.
What?
Besides beer. Let me make the music selection for tonight.
It's a little late. Link did.
You missed.
Ah.
Why, do you have something uploaded to the server?
No, I've had stuff sitting there for a while.
Oh. Well, we'll play that in 4 weeks.
Okay.
Link's got some exciting stuff we got to listen to.
Yeah, man.
So, homeless
they
guys.
I like it. No, they're not homeless.
They're playing in the subway?
Yeah, these guys, not really the subway, it's the regional rail, so it's the train. These guys hang out in the train station almost every day. They're there when I get out of work. And it's just, two guys, one guy playing the guitar, the other guy singing. They're absolutely fantastic. They do, all kinds of music, probably some of their own stuff, a lot of cover stuff. Really, really good. Walked by one day, I actually had, 20 seconds to pick up one of their CDs. They have, four or five of them there. I picked up one of them because that's all the money I had in my pocket. Didn't have a chance to hit a Mac machine for any more. And there were three tunes on there. The first one is an Elvis tune, and that's what I uploaded to Dan tonight. They're covering an Elvis tune. The guys are called Anthony and the Reverend, and they are really phenomenal. The guys are like it. Hopefully a lot more to come from those guys. I'm going to pick up the rest of their sheet.
And they playing any local clubs or anything?
I really didn't get a whole lot of time to talk to them. Basically, I asked them how much I could give them for a CD, and they said, $5. I give them $5 for a CD. And I told them, I run this tech show on the Internet every week and asked them if they would mind if I, played their stuff on there. And they said, no, go right ahead, man. And asked me the name of the show, and that's really all the time I had to spend talking with them, or I would have missed my train. And, that's that pretty much. Hopefully I'll get some extra time one of these days to spend a couple minutes chatting with them, and maybe I can bring them a CD with this show on it and them on the end so they can see that I was bullshitting when I said I would play it,
So let's hear
if we could actually get an interview with them and to come on, depending on what the rest of you guys think of their music. But I think they're really, really good.
Wow, where's that going off?
Yeah.
No, I mean, whose car alarm's going off?
I hear one in the neighborhood somewhere.
Are you still outside?
Yeah. Yeah, it is getting a little cool, but it's a nice cool.
You're all high and everything.
No.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
You hear the bong water going.
Nah.
McGraw.
Don't do that anymore, man.
You hear that raw throat, man.
Been clean for 20 years.
Last time you took a bath was 20 years ago?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Do showers now. Do showers, run around in the rain. Yeah.
A little bar of soap.
Of course.
Hey, show him what you, whether he needs it or not.
Exactly. It ain't Saturday night, guys.
Well, anything else for tonight?
Yeah, we're going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss you guys, man.
So remember, we need content.
Yes.
Yeah, so people start emailing us stuff. Like, get some user-contributed show content out and about right away.
Which means we'll get nothing.
Yep. So here's your opportunity, folks, to put your money where your mouth is.
Become the new tech show.
Yep. Take the reins. Do it up. Make us proud.
Do it.
Bring it to your time.
Do it.
Prove you're better than us.
Do it. Don't forget Lug Radio Live, whenever the hell it is. Or is it already?
Next month, I think.
Ah. There we go. All right. Should I play this song? Play us out?
Play the song. Play us out.
Do it.
See you in 4 weeks.
Goodbye, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Too well. The drums were jumping and the place began to swing. You should have heard the knocked out jailbird sing. That's right. Come on, let's ride. Everybody in the whole cell block was dancing to the jailhouse vibe. All the little girls dancing after dark. Red and Robin playing on a slide guitar. Cops said you can't play Rittenhouse Square. Crazy Drew said, oh, don't go there. That's right. Come on, let's ride. Everybody in the wholesale block was dancing to the jailhouse vibe. Sitting on the fountain, starting to sing. Lean on cop eagle starts to sing. All the people start to gather around. Next thing you know, come on, let's ride. Everybody in the wholesale block was dancing to the jailhouse vibe. Come on, let's ride. Everybody in the wholesale block will dance to the roundhouse ride.
Yeah.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Just shut up. It's over.